This is Keeping the Faith, a weekly discussion about issues of faith, spirituality, religion, and ethics. Now here's your host, Steve Shoemaker.
Welcome to Keeping the Faith. Our guests today are two missionaries from the Church of Jesus Christ of the Latter-day Saints, sometimes called Mormons. We'll be talking about those names. Today our guests are Tyson Hackwell and Jeff Veru. Jeff, tell me how to spell that last name. It's unusual.
It's V-E-R-R-U-E. It's French.
Veru. All right. Well, welcome you two. Now, you're both very young to be missionaries. How old are you?
I'm 20 years old.
20 years old.
And I'm 19.
So Tyson's 19 and Jeff is 20. Now, how long have you been missionaries?
Well, yesterday is my 11th month mark, and so I'll be almost a year.
Okay. And what about you, Tyson?
Well, I've been out just about 7 months, and about 2 days it'll be 7 months, and it's been good.
Now, what were you doing before you were full-time missionaries?
Just going to school and working during the summer and things like that, just anything normal kids do.
And how long had you been in school? How far along are you in school?
Oh, not school, just high school.
High school?
Yeah.
All right. And where are you from?
I'm from Florence, Montana.
Florence, Montana, a Westerner.
That's right.
And I'm from Price, Utah. And before my mission, I was just got out of high school, just started working and saving up some money so I could be able to come out here on my mission.
So are you funding, do you fund yourself on this missionary project?
Yeah, we actually have to earn the money, and it's come straight from us, so we don't get paid to do it or anything like that.
Now, you're both in your official missionary dress. You each have today short-sleeved shirts. You have a tie on. You have a badge that gives your name, and it says, tell our listeners what it says on your badge.
Well, it says, states our name. It says Elder, and then our last names, and then it says the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Now, it says Elder. Now, both of you, we just talked about you being relatively young.
Yeah.
So where does the term Elder come from?
Well, what I've heard is Elder is Hebrew for teacher, and what we are is we are teachers of the gospel.
Okay. Now, what's the proper form of address for someone like you? Now, if you were a minister in a Protestant church, you might be called a reverend. If you're a priest in a Catholic church, you'd be called father. What is a missionary, what's the proper term for a missionary in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints?
An elder.
Yeah, so we would call you Elder
Veru.
Elder Veru.
Yeah.
All right. Can we be informal and use first names, or is that improper?
Well, you can call me Jeff. It's up to you.
Okay. But in your religious tradition, other people who are LDS would call you Elder Veru. Is that
yes,
right?
Yes, correct.
Okay. And when do they get informal? Like, what do you call each other when you're riding around on a bike?
Well, we just keep calling ourselves Elder for the whole mission.
Really?
And then when we get home, that's when we call ourselves by our first names.
Okay. So it's part of the expectation for the work you're doing to use formal terms because you feel you have it defines your task or it describes your task.
Yeah.
Is that fair?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Reminds you of what you're doing.
Exactly. Kind of keep ourselves focused.
Okay. So you're not just two young men just out having fun. You have a cause.
Exactly.
Of course. I wish we could have more fun, but we don't always get to.
So you put that off for a whole 2 years.
Yep.
Well, what does that mean? How strict are the expectations for missionaries? What are you allowed to do? What aren't you allowed to do?
Well, the thing that I probably miss the most that we can't do is we can't date girls.
You cannot.
We can go out every day and teach the gospel to people and share our testimonies with them. We can't go to parties. We can't do different things like that, mostly things of the world.
Hmm. And what are some of those things that fall into that category for an LDS person? What are things of the world?
Just like partying, Things like that. I don't know.
Listening to music.
Oh, you can't even listen to popular music?
Yeah, just church music is what we're supposed to just listen to.
What about television? Can you watch television?
Nope, we cannot watch television.
Huh, can you go to movies?
Nope, we're not supposed to go to movies
either. Don't go to movies. Wow. So that's very strict, isn't it?
It is.
And are these things considered wrong, or can you do them after your mission? You
know, we can do them after our mission. It's just the whole idea, like I said earlier, about keeping the focus.
The focus.
You know, if we watch TV, you know, we want to work as hard and things like that.
Huh. So how are you trained to do this mission? What kind of, Tyson, you said you just finished high school. What did you do next before you started on this mission? Or were you getting trained while you were in high school?
Well, actually, we have a seminary program in high school where we go to a seminary class during our high school years. And we go there and we learn out of the scriptures, out of the Old Testament, the New Testament, and the Book of Mormon, and then the Pearl of Great Price and Doctrine and Covenants. We have a year where we study each of them and learn from that. And then also, right before we come on our missions, we go to a missionary training center for 3 weeks before we come out. And that's in BYU, on BYU University. And
Brigham Young University.
Yeah,
uh-huh.
in Provo, Utah. Mm-hmm. And we go there and we just study the scriptures and just sit in a classroom and try and learn the stuff that we're supposed to be teaching. And not to memorize it, to just read it like that, but to be able to teach it by the Spirit and what we need to tell the people, what we have learned.
The thing is, in the MTC, or Missionary Training Center, he's talking about, you can't. It's kind of hard to learn everything there. It's mostly just a spiritual boost, I'd have to say, right before you go on your mission. Kind of prepares you.
Now, Tyson, since you grew up in Utah and you were in a high school where there was sort of a seminary training, was that true also for you, Jeff, growing up in Montana, or did you not have that same kind of a high school experience?
I had it as well. I think in Tyson's case, it might have been during school, but like during the regular class hours. But for us, I don't know, people who don't have as many members in the area, they have it in the early morning, like an hour before school.
Okay. Let me just explain to our listeners that today we are not live as we usually are on Sunday afternoons on Keeping the Faith, but this is a pre-recorded program because of scheduling difficulties, so there will not be an opportunity for listeners to call in. I regret that, but I'll do my best to ask the kind of questions I think our listeners might want to ask our two guests today. Let's talk about this term, Church of Jesus Christ of the Latter-day Saints, or LDS,
okay,
as opposed to Mormon. Now, you prefer and you call yourselves members of an LDS church.
Yes.
Other people have referred you as Mormons. Is that accurate, or do you
Definitely.
Sometimes call yourself Mormons?
Both.
Both. Okay.
But the official name is the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Okay. And where did the term Mormon come from? Do you know that history at all?
Oh, yeah, we know that history. It's kind of a long thing. Let's see here. It comes from the Book of Mormon, which is another testament of Jesus Christ, that the Book of Mormon is just a record of people who we believe lived on the American continent at the same time that Jesus Christ was ministering to the people over in Jerusalem and over there in that part of the world. And the Book of Mormon is just records of the prophets that lived there. And there's been many, many records and things like that. And there was one of the latter prophets of the ancient Americas. His name was Mormon, and he took all the records of all the different prophets and compiled that into the Book of Mormon.
Okay, now, when was the Book of Mormon written? Do you know that history?
Well, it was written from 600 B.C. to about 400 A.D., roughly. I'm not too sure about the 400 A.D., I'm pretty sure, though.
Now, when was the Book of Mormon, was it delivered to
translated?
Yeah.
Well, it was translated about, I think, 1827.
And that was Joseph Smith?
Yes, Joseph Smith translated the Book of Mormon.
Okay. And where was he when he translated it? You know what state he was in?
I think he was in New York.
Huh, okay. And then he came to Illinois?
Yeah.
And since this program originates here at the University of Illinois in this state, remind listeners what happened to Joseph Smith when he was in Illinois. Tyson, do you want to respond?
Well, when he was in Illinois, he got sent to a jail named Carthage Jail, which is in Carthage, and he was being held on some accounts that he had supposedly done, and then a bunch of mobs came in and martyred him, and him and his older brother, Hiram Smith, were killed.
And so they were killed in Carthage.
Yeah.
And what happened to his followers after that? Because they'd been being persecuted here during those years.
After that, there was a new prophet that came, and his name was Brigham Young. And when they had been getting persecuted and they couldn't do anything to anything else, they started to head west. And they moved all the way over to Salt Lake City, Utah.
Now, when you as missionaries knock on somebody's door and want to witness to them, talk to them about your understanding of the gospel, is this part of what you tell people, or what's your approach? What happens when somebody opens the door?
Well, first of all, when I'm out talking to people, I like to ask, you know, how their day is going, and just trying to get to know them at first, and then I ask if they want to hear, you know, about the Book of Mormon, or about, you know, about Joseph Smith, or about something like that, about Jesus Christ, and just if they want to, then we'll share with them about that. But if they don't, then we'll just go to the next person, the next door.
Now, what kind of training have you received on how to deal with people who have different reactions to you? Because I'm sure some people are friendly and welcoming and, hey, let's sit down and talk. And other people say, go away. Don't bother me. How are you trained to respond in you know, the wide variety of cases you must get?
Well, we have to, you know, if the people are nice and want us to come in, like that kind of reaction, then we'll come in and talk with them. But if they yell at us and things like that, you know, we're not going to go off and yell at them as well. You know, we're just going to say, have a nice day and keep on going because we got to, you know, we're representatives of this church. So we have to keep a good name for that.
Mm-hmm. Now, is it always two males who are together or sometimes teams male and female?
No, it's always two males. There's also sister missionaries, and those are usually in teams. And sometimes there's threesomes, but that's kind of rare.
So sister missionaries would be two women who would be doing the same thing you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Has that always been possible, or is that something relatively new? Don't know.
Pretty
that.
Sure it's always been possible, but okay. I'm not sure if they've been doing it for that long.
Okay. Now, are there some risks, more risks for females who might knock on somebody's door and be a little worried about going inside?
Yeah, definitely. I think, well, they're a little bit more susceptible, you know, a little not as strong as a man, I guess you could say. But, you know, they just do the same things that we do.
They do. Okay. Now, let's talk a little bit about what you were talking about, the scriptures. Tyson, you were mentioning that you're trained to interpret the scriptures, to talk about the scriptures, and you mentioned the Book of Mormon as one of the scriptures, but you also mentioned what Christians would call the Old Testament or the New Testament.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, do Mormons call themselves Christians or as followers of Jesus, or do you call yourselves something
else?
Yes,
we call ourselves Christians. We believe wholeheartedly that Jesus Christ is our Savior, and we follow Him and try to be like Him because we know He's the perfect example.
Okay. So you would read the Christian Bible, the Old Testament, the New Testament, as well as the Book of Mormon?
Yes.
Correct.
We read them all in one. Just it builds our faith that much more, having another book that helps us to realize that He is our Savior.
Now, are those separate books, or is there a publication with all three together, the two Testaments and the Book of Mormon?
There's one of them all together.
There is?
Yeah.
Yeah, the one he was talking about just a second ago, he was talking about the Doctrine and Covenants and the Pearl of Great Price that you study in seminary, the seminaries that we were talking about. I have one that has the Bible, the Book of Mormon, the Pearl of Great Price, and the Doctrine and Covenants.
Now, if any of our listeners are curious about these books and want to get copies, how can they do that? Are they available in libraries and bookstores?
Yeah, actually, they will be available in bookstores. I'm not sure now, but I think the church is pretty soon going to start putting them in bookstores. But it'd be a lot easier just to call up the missionaries, or they're in the phone book. Or, the church has a website, www.mormon.org, and you can just order it from there, and the missionaries will come to your house and deliver one to you. And there's things on TV all the time, commercials, and it's really quite easy to get a hold of one, and they're completely free, and, we love giving them away.
Now, how large is the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints? I know it's around the world now, right? It's in countries, or many countries at least.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure on this, but I think it's about 12 million.
Worldwide?
12 million, and growing.
Uh-huh. And is it growing more in certain parts of the world than in other parts?
Yes. There's people who serve missions down in South America. The people down there seem to be very humble and very open and very, very friendly. And, cultures are different. Sometimes cultures vary, and some cultures might be very friendly people, and sometimes people aren't very nice. But I think that's part of the reason why it's accepted very, very well down in the South American countries.
Hmm. When you go on a mission, do you have a choice as to where you go in the world or this country, or are you assigned by other people in the church?
Well, I'll go ahead and tell you exactly how we are called to a mission.
Okay.
Basically, what happens is by the time when we turn 19 years old, if we feel ready, we get together and we fill out kind of some paperwork, kind of just with our name and like things and classes we've taken like in different languages and stuff like that, and just a bunch of paperwork, and we send it down to church headquarters, which is in Salt Lake City. And in our church we have a prophet and 12 apostles, and those men take a look at our paperwork and they pray about it, and they have a list of places that missionaries are needed, and then from then they make a decision where we need to go. And this mission that we're in now is the Illinois Peoria Mission. And basically, it's about central Illinois, and okay, it has parts of other states in it as well.
And how far will you go out of you're here in Champaign-Urbana right now?
Yes.
Are there other Mormon missionaries in Champaign-Urbana at the same time, or are you the only two right now?
There's actually... I think there's us, and there's a pair of sister missionaries here, and there's a Spanish-speaking missionaries companionship, and I think there's some on campus as well.
Cool.
Yeah.
And that's all in addition to the churches or wards that are in this area, right?
Exactly. The idea is to have, for every ward or every congregation, have a set of missionaries.
Now, the word ward is a little unusual to some of our listeners, probably.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us what that means.
Well, the word ward is kind of like the same word for congregation. And what it is it's how our congregations are set up is they're set up geographically. So we'll be in the first ward, we'll be on this side of the town, and on this side of town will be the second ward. And it's kind of just divided like that into wards.
So it might be similar for Catholic listeners to a parish boundary, which is also geographical within a community. Okay. All right. We're talking today with Elder Jeff Veroux and Elder Tyson Hackwell from the Church of Jesus Christ of the Latter-day Saints, sometimes also called the Mormons, about their experience as a 19 and 20-year-old off on their own, or not on their own, they're together. Now, you're required to be together. Is that right?
That's correct.
Okay. And why is that?
Well, we believe that, it makes it a little bit easier when there's two of us to resist temptation. You know, if someone was out by themselves, it'd be a little bit easier to give in. Uh-huh. But when there's two of us, that's two people. One person might not want to do something, and then they kind of balance each other out.
Okay. And so you actually live together?
Yeah, we do. We have an apartment, and we do live together.
And it's not always easy for any two people to get along, and not every two people who might be assigned together.
Very true.
Are just wake up at the same time and, you know, feel like keeping the place either clean or messy, or how do you deal with those kind of disagreements?
It's very hard. Also on the mission, I forgot to tell about is you get new companions, we like to call roommates or whatever, every few months. There's some change.
So it's not two people together for the whole 2 years.
Yeah, exactly.
So at least if it's a disagreeable situation, you're not stuck for two whole years.
Yeah. Exactly.
Okay.
But still, you get with people you don't exactly get along with, but, you know, you're with them for a reason.
Okay. And you don't get a choice of who's next.
Exactly.
The next person just shows up.
Yeah, the mission president just picks out one that he feels that you need to be with, and a lot of times it's probably just to help you learn patience.
And which one of you two is having to be more patient at the moment?
Probably me.
So, let's talk a little bit about the Mormon attitudes towards conflict resolution. How are you taught to deal with a problem when here you are living with somebody for 3 or 4 months? You didn't choose them.
Yeah.
There's a difficulty. How are you taught to talk with each other about it and solve the problem or try to deal with it?
Well, I wasn't really taught by anyone in the MTC or anyone on my mission field. I was taught by my mother, and she says, you know, if you're having trouble, you know, getting along with them, she said, kill them with kindness. And I just try to be kind to them and try to show them that I care about them and just try to be their friends. But, you know, sometimes it's harder than it, and then sometimes it's easier.
Uh-huh. What about you, Tyson?
Pretty much the same. I've just learned throughout my mission that some people you have to just try and be the friend, even if you don't like them, because it'll make it a lot better if you can get along with them.
Uh-huh. So in Mormon teaching, are there differences in the Book of Mormon to, like, instructions that Jesus gave, say, on the Sermon on the Mount, that you were supposed to turn the other cheek to somebody who's abusive to us or mean to us or something? Yeah.
None that I can think of. We think or what we believe is that the Bible and the Book of Mormon are in perfect harmony with each other. Some people might find different scriptures and kind of say that they, you know, don't really make sense, you know, kind of that they don't agree with each other. But we believe that, you know, they go perfectly together.
Now, there are a lot of differences among Christians who don't accept the Book of Mormon as Scripture about issues like this. Some are pacifists. Some say, I'll never go to war. I'll never fight back. I'll never even defend myself if it involves violence.
Yeah.
The Amish Christians would say that. The Mennonite Christians would say that. Quakers would say that. Mm-hmm. Other Christians, Catholic and Protestant, would say, well, we believe that within limits you can defend yourself. Even countries can defend themselves using violence. It should be a last resort. It should be limited. Yeah. A lot of rules about it. But where are Mormons on that? Are Mormons pacifists, or can you join the armed services and go to war?
Well, as missionaries, we're not supposed to really take a stand on things like political things like that. But yes, as members, you can, you know, be part of the military or any of those different, like, parts of the military.
You can.
Yes.
Okay. All right. And can Mormons hold public office when you're not a missionary? Could you run to be a mayor of a city or a legislator or something like that? Okay.
You could.
So you can be involved in the political structures.
Yeah. They actually want they actually want members to be involved so they can be, you know, part of the community and part of making decisions and things like that.
Okay. Can do Mormons tend to be liberal, progressive on social issues, or more conservative, or can you make that generalization? Are there just as many Democrats who are Mormons as Republicans, or not?
Yeah. There's a wide variety, and you can't really, you know, narrow it down. Okay. There's just as many Democrats as there is Republicans.
Hmm. Okay. In terms of the kind of social issues that are important to the people in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, tell me, what are some of the issues? Are you concerned with world poverty, world hunger, with there are all kinds of arguments these days about all kinds of things, but what are some of the social issues that your church struggles with or takes the lead on?
Well, our church has a lot of things on helping out with, like, poverty and things like that, to help out the people who are poor. Well, for example, every first Sunday of the month, we have a fast Sunday, and people take the money they would spend on that two meals, and they'd give that to the church, and the church would take that money and take care of the people who really needed it, take care of the needy.
So they respond to people in their own cities, towns, neighborhoods.
Yeah. Exactly.
Okay.
And the whole thing with the ward is everyone in that ward boundaries is kind of looked after by that ward, even if they're not a member, if they need it and if they ask for it.
Huh. Do Mormons do this responding to people's needs as a church, or do they sometimes do it cooperatively with other Christians or interfaith, with other Muslims, Jews, Buddhists, whatever?
I'm not exactly sure on that. I don't think they would have a problem with doing it with other people.
Okay. Now, did each of you grow up in a Mormon family?
Yes, I did.
And Tyson, your parents were?
Yeah, my parents were members as far as I can remember.
Okay. All right. We're talking on Keeping the Faith this afternoon with two members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints who are currently missionaries. Jeff Veru is 20 years old, Elder Veru, and Elder Hackwell, Tyson Hackwell, is 19 years old. And they have been very gracious to talk with us about their experiences. This program this Sunday is pre-recorded because of scheduling difficulties, so our listeners are... I'm not encouraging you to call in today because this program is over by the time you hear it.
Too bad. That would have been fun.
I know. But I'll try to ask some more difficult questions in the second half of the program. But let me take just a minute to remind listeners of some of the things coming up in the future here on Keeping the Faith, and I'll give our guests a chance to take a sip of water before we launch into some other questions and responses. Next week, October 3rd, we'll be having an archive program because I'll be out of town. On October 10, we'll be discussing the Students for Environmental Concerns at the University of Illinois campus. October 17, we'll be discussing Roman Catholic theology. On the 24th of October, we'll be talking about the economy, views of the economy in Islam. On the 31st of October, we'll be discussing Christian themes in the children's books about Harry Potter. So that should be interesting. In November, we have some interesting programs coming up as well. We'll be talking with the current poet laureate for the United States, Ted Kooser, on November 21st. We'll be talking with the Illinois poet laureate, Kevin Stein, and they'll be on November 7th, and they'll be reading some of their poetry that has religious, ethical value issues. Should be very interesting. And as a teaser for that program, let me read something from Ted Kooser. This is read with permission of the publisher, Copper Canyon Press and the Poet Laureate. This is from his recent book, Delights and Shadows. It was published just this year. That's Ted Kooser, K-O-O-S-E-R, recently named Poet Laureate for the United States. I read one of the poems from this book last week, one called Student, which was very short, just three sentences. And the one I've chosen for this week is not much longer. And it's called Surviving. And I'm going to be talking with our Mormon guests here in a moment about some of their attitudes towards life and death and eternity. And this poem by Ted Kooser gets into some of these issues. It's called Surviving. There are days when the fear of death is as ubiquitous as light. It illuminates everything. Without it, I might not have noticed this ladybird beetle, bright as a drop of blood on the window's white sill. Her head, no bigger than a period, her eyes like needle points, she has stopped for a moment to rest, knees locked, wing covers hiding the delicate lace of her wings. As the fear of death, so attentive to everything living, comes near her, the tiny antenna stop moving. A poem titled Surviving by U.S. Poet Laureate Ted Kooser from his book Delights and Shadows, published by Copper Canyon Press, read with permission. Ted Kooser, as I mentioned, will be a guest on this program in the studio with us November 21st. We look forward to that program. My name is Steve Shoemaker. I'm the usual host for Keeping the Faith. I'm the executive director of the University YMCA. The Y is provides partial support for this program. It's the oldest student group on the University of Illinois campus that's been here continuously. Started in 1873 and have been developing student leaders by providing opportunities for social action and community service. We come from a Christian background in the Y, but we're open to student from any religious tradition or none to be active in our programs. Coming up this week, we have a couple programs. Our Friday Forum program will feature Eboo Patel on October 1st. He's the executive director of the Interfaith Youth Corps. And he'll be talking about this Chicago-based nonprofit organization that he founded and that he directs as it relates to issues of religious diversity and peacemaking. That'll be October 1st at the Y at noon. It's a free lecture. People can come and get some good Thai food from the Thai eatery, or the Y Thai, as it's sometimes called. It's a cheap lunch for students and pretty inexpensive for everybody else. So that's Friday Forum on October 1st. September 28th, Carol Stoddard will be our guest, and she'll be talking about Allerton Park, the mystery of Allerton, past, present, and future. Allerton Park is a wonderful facility of the University of Illinois in near Monticello, Illinois, and she'll be talking about its history and its programs. Those are some of the programs coming up at the University Y. If you have questions about those programs or others, give us a call, 337-1500, during the work week. Or you can check out our website, universityymca.org. The Y survives by generous gifts from people who support its mission with college students. And one of the ways people choose to give gifts to the Y is by donating a car or a pickup truck or a van or even an SUV. People can get a tax deduction when they do that if they itemize on their taxes, tax returns. And we then sell those vehicles, often fairly cheaply, particularly to students, graduate students and others. And we those people get a goodbye, and the Y gets a help with our income. So if you have a car you'd like to donate and don't want to go through the trouble of selling a used car yourself or trading it in, you can take the value of that car as a tax deduction and give it to this 501c3 charity. Give me a call, Steve Shoemaker, 337-1500 during the week. Well, let's get back to our guest today. We're talking with Elder Veru and Elder Hackwell about their experience as Latter-day Saints missionaries. Let's talk a little bit about your family background. You have brothers and sisters. How about you, Jeff?
Yes. Excuse me.
Yeah.
I have three older brothers, and I have a sister, and she is the oldest. And the thing is, she...
So you're the youngest.
Yeah, I'm the baby of the family.
Okay.
All my brothers, they're not really active in this church right now.
Oh, really?
They didn't serve missions, but my sister did serve a mission, and she was serving in New York City.
Okay. And what about you, Tyson? What's your family like?
I've got one older sister, and I got three younger brothers.
Now, each of you come from a family of five kids.
Yeah. Look at that.
Now, is that typical for Mormon families to have a lot of children?
I think it varies. But, yeah, you see a lot of the time there's a lot of children in the family and Mormon
now,
families.
Do Mormons approve of birth control methods? Can you use condoms and IUDs and birth control pills in your married life?
I think you can. I'm not exactly sure if
it's
looked down upon.
Is it discouraged?
I think birth control is looked down upon,
but
I don't think condoms are.
I see. Okay, like birth control pills
may
not be approved.
Exactly.
Huh, okay. Getting into the whole area of children and family and sexuality, of course, brings up the biggest issue that many people have with Mormons, which is in the history, in your history, you have the tradition of polygamy, where one man could have more than one wife.
Exactly.
Tell me about that. Is that still possible?
No, it's not possible anymore.
Okay.
But about the time of Joseph Smith, God commanded Joseph and a few other people, it wasn't like a whole bunch of people, to take in more than one wife. We don't know why. We just believe that it was a revelation from God to Joseph, because he was a prophet of the Lord. Kind of like, you know, in the Bible, you know, some people had more wives than others, and sometimes it wasn't like that, and we just believe that that was a commandment from God. Not sure what reason for, you know, whether at that time there wasn't very many men, so they had to take women under their house, you know, just for protection and things like that, or what, but all we know is that it was a revelation and a commandment from our Heavenly Father.
Now, when did that change? Was that very long ago?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure, not exactly the date, but I think like the late 1800s.
Okay,
maybe like.
All right. And do you, either of you in your family history, have a relative who did have more than one wife, a male relative?
No, I don't.
Not that I know of.
Not that you know of. Okay. Now, there are branches of the Mormon Church, right? You're in one tradition, but are there some branches that still feel that it's okay to have polygamy?
Yeah, there's people who they might say that they are members of our church, and they're just like kind of an offshoot, and they still practice that, yes. It's in different parts of the country, some in Utah. There's been some in Montana, you know, and... But members of the church that do that are excommunicated from the church.
I see. Okay. I mentioned when I read the poem by Ted Kooser that dealt with the fear of death, the whole issue of, you know, as human beings, we all know we're going to die.
Exactly.
What does the Mormon Church teach about the end of life and life? Is there considered to be life beyond death?
Yes, there is. Let me think here. Where do I start? Well, and as we know, we all will die someday. But we also do know that through Jesus Christ and all that he's done for us, you know, we can be resurrected again. know, the body and the spirit will be able to come back together. But we believe that right after we die, that we'll go to a place called the spirit world, a place where I'm not sure exactly what's going to be going on, but it'll be a place for people to learn the gospel and a place for people to teach the gospel, because we know that there's been people on the earth before who haven't been able to receive the gospel of Jesus Christ and hear about that great message. And there, you know, we'll be able to teach and to learn, as I just said. And after that, we believe that we will be resurrected, that our bodies and our spirits will be reunited in its perfect form. There's actually a really good scripture in the Book of Mormon that I like a lot, and it talks about resurrection. And it says, there is a death which is a temporal death, and the death of Christ shall loose the bands of this temporal death, that all may be raised from this temporal death. Both the spirit and the body shall be reunited to its perfect form. Both the limb and joint shall be restored to its proper form. Even as we are now at this time, we shall be brought to stand before God, knowing even as we know now, and have a bright recollection of all our guilt. And it goes on to say that this resurrection will come to everyone, both bond and free, male and female. And I'm just grateful for that, because it's a wonderful blessing that we have.
Now, that's our listeners may not be able to tell, but since I'm here in the studio with you, I could tell you weren't reading that. You'd memorized that passage. Are there many passages from the Book of Mormon that each of you has memorized?
I can't say that I've memorized a lot from the Book of Mormon. I've memorized quite a few from the Bible. But I know some, I could kind of paraphrase some scriptures.
Okay. What about you, Tyson? Is memory, that kind of memory work, a skill you have too?
I can memorize some. I'm not very good at memorizing stuff, but I have more or less. My Book of Mormon where I can open up to it and
okay.
I know where it's at, but I'm not very good at memorizing. So,
All right. So, like that passage that you just quoted, Jeff, is that something that you could tell us where that comes from in the Book of Mormon?
Yes, that's in the Book of Alma, and Alma was a prophet. Just like all the prophets that wrote in the Book of Mormon, and it's in the 11th chapter and verse 42 and 43.
So these would be key passages that are important enough for you to know where they are and to memorize them as you talk to people about what you believe.
Definitely.
Okay. Now, do Mormons believe in a heaven and a hell?
In a way, yes. Well, we believe, I wasn't quite finished with the thing after the spirit world.
I didn't mean to interrupt.
That's fine. After the spirit world, we're resurrected, and after we're resurrected, we believe we'll be judged. And Paul talks about a glory, three different glories, and we believe them to be the three different kingdoms that we can be sent to, and the first being the celestial, second being the terrestrial, and the third being the telestial. And he compares them to the sun, the moon, and the stars. And we believe that by how we live our lives and how we obey the commandments of God and the intents of our hearts, that's how we'll be judged and sent to those different places. But we believe that there is an outer darkness as well for people who kind of deny the Holy Ghost and deny their testimony of Jesus Christ. But first, we believe that they have to have a very strong testimony of Jesus Christ, and then deny him. Does that sound right, Tyson?
Yeah, that sounds good.
Tyson, let me ask you a question in this vein. pardon me. If you if you're talking to someone and they say, well, this is interesting. Thank you for telling me about the Book of Mormon and what you believe. But I'm a Catholic. I'm a Roman Catholic. I don't accept the Book of Mormon. I follow the teachings of the Catholic Church. I believe I follow the teachings of the Bible. What do you say to them then? Do you say, well, that's fine, and you're okay, and you should stay what you are? Or do you say, well, that's all right, but it'd be better if you accepted the Book of Mormon.
We don't try and force anybody to accept what we share with them. We more or less are just out here to tell people what have brought us happiness and joy in our lives, and it's just we're sharing it with them, and we're not saying that we're better than them or they're better than us. We're just out here sharing what we've found to be true, uh-huh. and we just give it to them, and if they accept it, then that's good. But if not, just hopefully that they believe in Jesus Christ, because that's our main goal, is just to bring uh-huh. people closer to Jesus Christ.
All right, well, then let me push that just a little farther. Let's say you're talking to a Buddhist who doesn't believe in Jesus Christ as divine or... and they wouldn't talk about life after death necessarily. Do you have the same attitude toward them? Well, that's okay. And
yeah, we try not to look down upon anybody. We don't try and put ourselves better than other people. We just more or less are just out sharing what we found to be true and just trying to help them come to an understanding. But if they don't accept it, we don't like yell at them or anything. We just tell them to have a good day. And
right.
We have actually articles of faith, kind of what we believe in. And there's 13 of them, and one of them talks about, you know, we believe that men can worship how, where, and what they may, just as long as it doesn't, you know, go against the laws of the land.
But if you really believe that, then why bother being missionaries? If you really think they're okay the way they are.
Well, we don't believe that they're okay, but we believe that, you know, they can do what they please, but we're out here just to share with them the truths that we found, and we're not pressing it upon them, you know, that they have to believe. We just tell them and let them pray and figure out for themselves whether or not it's true.
Okay. Are you open to the possibility that in talking to, say, a Hindu, that the Hindu who believes there are many gods may be right, and you're willing to at least consider and listen to them to see if that truth is maybe bigger than your truth?
Well, I would be glad to listen to them, but I know that there is one God, and that there's His Son, Jesus Christ, and that there's the Holy Ghost, and those three are the Godhead, and that's the only God that I believe in, and you know, I'd listen to Him, but I don't think that it would change my beliefs, because the beliefs I've received are from sincere studying and prayer.
Okay. Now, if you two, I'd like to talk a little bit just about some of your experiences as missionaries to give listeners a sense of what it's like to be out just knocking on somebody's door and saying, can I share? Have you run across other people when you've done that who've tried to convert you to their way of thinking? Like maybe they're a strong evangelical fundamentalist conservative Christian, and they say, all this Book of Mormon stuff is nonsense. And here, let me show you how to read the Bible. Mm-hmm. Have you ever had that?
Yeah, we have it all the time, but we just gotta, you know, just kind of listen to what they say, and what our, you know, kind of reaction is to that is to listen to what they have to say and listen to their beliefs and try to maybe build upon their beliefs and maybe try to teach them what we believe. But that happens all the time. People say, you know, these things are wrong. Look at the Bible. It says this. And they interpret it different ways than we do, and it's something that happens pretty often.
What about your experiences, Tyson? You've just been in Champaign-Urbana fairly recently. Where were you before this?
I was in Keokuk, Iowa.
Iowa?
Yeah, just across the Mississippi.
And did you have these kind of encounters there too?
Yeah, that place is one of the probably the worst places for it, because it's so close to Nauvoo.
Okay.
And so we run into a lot of that, but we just more or less just listen to them, and then we try and share with them, and we go home, we go back, and if they ask us to pray and to find out if theirs is right, we will do that, and try and just because I want to know what church is true, and I want to make sure that I'm in the right one.
So in Keokuk, Iowa, that being close to Nauvoo, there's still a lot of anti-Mormon feeling?
Yeah, there's still a lot there, but it was good serving there.
Oh, okay. It toughened you up?
Yeah, it toughened me up a little bit.
What are the kind of welcomes you like to get at the door when you knock on somebody's door? What makes you feel the best?
I think the thing that makes me feel the best is when someone invites you in and, you know, gives you a glass of lemonade or a Pepsi or something like that and says, you know, how are you doing, tries to get to know you. And, you know, just them showing that kind of caring And, you know, trying to help someone out is just really, really friendly, and I like it when they do that.
How many days a week do you do this?
Every day.
Including Sunday?
Yes. Yep.
Okay. How many people a day do you try to see?
As many as we possibly can.
And what hours do you put in?
Well, our entire day starts at 6:25 in the morning. We wake up and we study and we get ready for the day, eat breakfast, you know, exercise, work out, till about 10 o'clock. And from there we go out and we come back at about 9:30 at night.
Do you have a car?
Nope, we have bikes and we have the bus.
Now, why is that? Why no cars?
Well, our area is kind of small. We're only in kind of eastern, southeastern Urbana, and our area is kind of small. But there's other missionaries. For example, the sisters have a car, and they have a lot of outside towns and things like that. It's all about how big the area is.
Okay. So there's nothing wrong with having a car for missionaries. It just depends on where you are.
Exactly. Yeah,
but people in urban areas typically see Mormon missionaries on bikes or
exactly.
walking.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
And since you're paying for it yourself, would you have to provide your own car?
No.
No.
Okay. If you had a car, that'd be provided for.
Yeah. It's provided by the church. Okay.
How much money does it take to sustain you? How much do you have to have ready before you go off for a couple of years?
I think it's about roughly $10,000.
Roughly around there.
So you live pretty cheaply.
Oh, yes.
Yes. Very cheap.
We're very poor.
So how do you take care of yourself? How do you live on that kind of a budget?
Well, about every once a month, we have a little bank account, and we get about $155 in that bank account. And the rest of the money, you know, well, first of all the money that we have gets sent to the church. And then that money gets sent to us as we need it for rent. They pay for the rent and kind of take care of all that for us.
Okay.
And we take care of our own food and things like that and clothes.
So where did you get that tie you're wearing?
Well, I got this tie, at Goodwill.
Okay.
It's a pretty nice one.
I got mine from a member in Macomb, Illinois.
And I was hoping maybe you'd say, oh, I got it from the Y Dump and Run, because I knew you got some ties from,
I did get
from one
some
of
from
our programs.
And as missionaries, we also do a lot of service. We do service at the YMCA.
Right.
It's a good place.
So tell us how you pick a place to do service and how often you do that.
Well, when I first got here, they were doing service at the Dump and Run, or not the Dump and Run, the YMCA. And, you know, just as you move around the mission and move to different places, usually they have the service already set up. But if you want to now start doing some different service, you know, you don't really think that you're making an impact on people or something like that, then you pray about it, and then you go out and look for a place to do service.
And so here you are spending 7 days a week being a missionary and witnessing to what you believe, but you part of that is also to do something even for another group that doesn't accept Mormonism at all.
Exactly.
And when you came to the Y and volunteered, you with your first partner, Jeff, you were doing heavy work. You were lifting things and carrying furniture and loading trucks on hot days. Why did you come back the next week?
Because I love it. It's good. Now that you say that, there's another scripture in the Book of Mormon that I know that I really love, and it's in the Book of Mosiah, and it says, it's in Mosiah 2:17, and it says, I tell you these things that ye may learn wisdom, that when ye are in the service of your fellow beings, ye are only in the service of your God. And I feel that when I'm out serving people and helping them, I'm showing them that I care about them, and, you know, it's a two-way benefit, because I know that I feel good after I serve someone, and they feel good because, you know, I'm helping them out. And I just like helping people out.
Tell me about other service projects either of you have been involved with so far on your mission.
Well, in my first area, we did service for a school. We'd go in and help the kids that were behind, or troubled kids, and help them to finish, get caught up on their schoolwork. And we also did it at the YMCA.
Okay.
We probably mowed lawns out in the sun and sweated off some pounds and stuff like that.
Now, you also help church members, you've told me before.
Yeah.
How does that happen?
Well, being in this college town, a lot of people move in and out, and here especially we've been helping people move in and out of their homes. And we do other things, you know, if they want help with their yard work, you know, old couple or something like that, or if they need help with anything, you know, we're more than happy to help them out.
I asked before what's the best response you hope to get at a door when you knock on it. What's the worst? What do you dread most? Dogs?
I dread the most probably just getting it slammed in my face.
Okay.
But it's okay because, you know, they're not rejecting me. You know, they're rejecting the message that I'm bringing.
Okay.
That's the way I look at that.
Mm-hmm. Tyson, any fears as you walk up a sidewalk?
Nothing too much, just more or less what he said, or just someone going off yelling at you, and just more or less I like people just being a little bit nicer, and just if they don't want to hear, they can just be like, well, we got our own stuff, and it's all right, you can have a good day.
Okay. There is something now that I think about it that I fear.
What's that?
Well, when I go up to the door, I kind of look up in the ceiling or whatever, and I look for bees' nests, because I'm allergic to bees.
I see.
And I look out for those.
Never can tell. Now, do you find your response is the response to you and your invitation to talk is different if somebody else has been there just the week before from Scientology or Jehovah's Witnesses or some other religious group?
Well, they talk a little bit more than they say. They say, well, this person from this religion was here last week, or the same person from your religion was here a month ago. Kind of gets them to talk a little bit more. And so you can, you know, get to know the person a little bit more and things like that. It can be better. Sometimes they just get a little bit more unhappy and perturbed.
Now, you mentioned that one of the things that you miss being young male adults is a chance to date. If you had a girlfriend before you started a mission, can you keep in correspondence with her? Can you call? Can you write? Is that limited?
We can write, and we can write emails.
Okay.
And that's about it. But we can talk to our mothers.
You can't use the phone.
Yeah, we can't use the phone.
With a girlfriend.
Again, with that focus thing. Okay. And with family. The only time we can call our family is Mother's Day and Christmas.
Wow.
It's pretty tough, but, you know, it's
good.
It's all about that whole focus thing that I was talking about earlier.
But you can use email, you can write letters.
Yeah.
Okay. And do you?
Yes.
Definitely.
Of course.
What do you look forward to from your letters? We only have about 30 seconds.
I like big packages with a bunch of candy and
cookies and brownies.
Letters from girls, you know, good stuff like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we've been talking today with two missionaries from The Church of Jesus Christ of the Latter-day Saints. We've been talking with 19-year-old Elder Tyson Hackwell and 20-year-old Elder Jeff Veru from Montana and Utah. This is Steve Shoemaker. I want to thank you for listening to Keeping the Faith.
You've been listening to Keeping the Faith, the production of WILL AM 580. The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of the participants.
Dream changed, and she was able to reach into the radar scope. She was able to cradle the plane in her hand and prevent any harm from happening.
Dreams can be a pleasant diversion or have the potential to even heal. I'm Jim Fleming. Next time, under the best of our knowledge, the power of dreams and the science of sleep. It's To the Best of Our Knowledge from PRI, Public Radio International.
Tonight at 7 here on WILL Urbana.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from these business partners: Anderson Foundation, AgriFab Incorporated, Sullivan, Jarman Center, Tuscola. These business partners join the Friends of WILL in making great programs possible. Thank you.
AM 580 has a listener comment line. If you'd like to comment on something you hear on the Information Advantage, call 217-333-0853 and leave a message. That's 217-333-0853. Tonight in Champaign-Urbana, mostly clear with a low in the upper 40s and northeast winds around 5 miles per hour. Tomorrow, mostly sunny with a high in the upper 70s and north winds around 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy with a low in the lower 50s and north winds around 10 miles per hour. It's 6 p.m. Central Time. This American Life is next.